You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hey, Chris, what are you drinking there?
Oh, you never seen one of these before?
No, what is that?
Oh, man, this is a brewery in Austin, Circle Brewing. They're right near my house, right up on Breaker Road. They got their own brewery with a bunch of stuff. This is actually, you're gonna think I'm lying. This is, I think, the best American Hefeweizen I've ever had, Circle
Get
Brewer.
Get out.
It's made in America. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's high praise coming from you.
Well, take a sip of this thing. Try that.
All right, let me see.
No. That wasn't the Hefeweizen. That was the IPA.
Yeah, no, that was
the
Ladybird.
Yeah, that's good too. Man, they make a lot of good beers. And like I said, you can come visit them at their tap room right down the street here from me, on Breaker Lane. It's delicious stuff. And they actually became the sponsor for the website, oneofus.net.
Wow. Good guys. And they live right down the street from here.
They certainly do. And you can even get their beer in convenience stores now.
Convenience store. I'm going to just walk over to Circle.
You know, whenever you're running down the side of a mountain being chased by bad guys, it's always good to comment on the amphitheater you're coming up by or how beautiful the people next to you are. It's really the best way to escape bad people, right?
Well, I find in the most horrific situations, the only way to truly escape is to narrate everything you see.
That's why I narrated most of this movie while I watched it.
It was like super narrator Inception meta powers.
Well, I mean, I feel like narration was 88 to 98% of this movie. I couldn't really tell. I kind of blacked out a few times.
Oh, it's interesting choices with the narration is he would narrate in the moments he was in, but he was also telling a story that has already happened. So that was fun.
Yeah, well, before we get too far into it, I'm Ben.
He was Bradley, and he was on a podcast talking to Ben. Ben was also on the podcast.
I can't tell if that's better or worse than the movie, but and we're talking about Welcome to Acapulco. Acapulco? I'm a Texan, and I should be able to pronounce this word, but I can't.
Yeah, Acapulco.
There you go.
How does he Close say enough. It?
Acapulco?
I can't get that whiny. But yeah, this is this is a movie that actually we got requested to review on Screener Squad by the creators. And I looked at it and said, oh, it's a movie with the biggest name being Michael Madsen and Billy Baldwin. I kind of need to watch this.
Yeah, and I'm always down for people requesting to view stuff. You know, I like to volunteer and charity work, you know, all of that.
And, such a giver.
Yeah, I like Michael Madsen a lot, so just wanted to see what he was up to.
Exactly. Well, this one is the story of Matt Booth, a video game designer, who is played by Michael Kingsbaker, who I believe otherwise has just been a stuntman in the past. And he's supposed to go to some video game awards where he's also pitching a video game, and really doesn't matter because he doesn't get on his flight. He ends up in Acapulco, where he evidently everybody knows suddenly that he's carrying some package that he has no idea he has. So everybody from the CIA to, he claims at some point, the Mexican CIA to the drug cartels to just random gangbangers are after him. And he's basically on the run for his life with the help of Adriana Vasquez, who turns out to be a CIA, played by Ana Sarodia. And basically he gets mixed in with Michael Madsen, who's hunting him, Billy Baldwin, who has something to do with the plot that doesn't come into like the last tenth of the movie. And it's kind of a mess, really, from that point on.
Yeah, it's pretty messy. I mean, anybody who owned a gun, it felt like, would just go after him like they were compelled to by some kind of outside force. And his running away was pretty much the action bits of this. And that doesn't sound very exciting. It's not. But a lot of people running away. And if you've seen a Jackie Chan movie, and as many as I have, the running away is going to be just torture. Because, you know, there are creative ways to do a chase, of course, especially in the cinematic universe. And unfortunately, there just isn't any inspiration to the chase in this film.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I thought there were some interesting action scenes, some that were relatively well shot. And again, he's a stuntman, and, you know, he's jumping off things that sometimes we're like, okay, I'm sure he probably actually did that. But
sure, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't add anything to the plot. And As you were joking earlier, he literally narrates every 5 seconds of this movie. Just Jesus Christ, he never shuts the hell up.
Well, other than his narration, what did you think of the character itself?
I didn't think the character was terrible. If they actually dropped out like 75% of the narration, I probably would have been okay with this character. I mean, even him being like, oh, how'd you beat me by hacking something? MIT. It's like, all right, that's corny movie bullshit, but it kind of worked. And, you know, he's not the whiniest guy thrown into being shot at in a movie. It's just the narration is literally like every time Adriana is talking to him, she doesn't even get to talk. It cuts to him narrating. I'm sure she's saying something like, oh, I love you so much. It's so great that you're here with me. God, she's beautiful. Oh, she said something important. I guess we'll figure that out later. It's like, fuck you, movie. Just,
I agree with that. I kind of feel like maybe it was gunning for some video game meta jokes and didn't quite land them. Like, oh, she's the beautiful, badass woman that's accompanying him. And like in video games, at least in the 90s, not recent video games, of course, but old ones, and this is definitely playing on old video game tropes. It doesn't matter what she has to say because she's sexy and has a gun. So who cares? And he even in the narration refers to her as his girlfriend a lot of times. And they never even have a conversation about that. So it's, in my opinion, creepy. But
yeah, very much.
I think it was supposed to come off as funny.
Well, but that's the other thing is like, you know, go figure at the end of the movie, they hook up together. But it's like, they had no chemistry throughout the movie. There's no scene where it's clear she's fallen for him, except for he keeps saying it. And suddenly at one point he's like, oh, she cares for me. He's like, does she? And she kind of like, you know, shows concern for his life for the first time in the movie. And you're like, oh, I guess she does.
He insists it into existence almost. I thought that was going to be the twist that
I did too. Like,
well, saying something is or isn't a twist. I consider a spoiler, so I'll just stop talking.
No, I mean, no, it's a little bit of a spoiler, but like, honestly, you know, we had that movie Serenity that came out earlier this year.
Yeah.
Where the twist at the end is a giant video game. And I'm like, is that where they're trying to go with this? Because, he's a video game designer. At the beginning, he's supposed to be like, he's a genius and makes a great game, but he's also like overworked and doesn't get to get any freedom from his boss or respect from anyone, which made no sense to me. And then he's like, yeah, my video game, The Wrath of Todd. And literally it is one of the worst sequences of supposed to be first person movement, like shot on film and then put with a bad posterization filter from like iMovie over the top. He's like, this is my video game. It's going to be the best shooter of all time. And I'm like, did anybody who wrote the script play video games or have any input on this?
It's going to blow your mind. Like, that's how it would be marketed, too, if it was real. Like, some jacked guy, you know, that probably didn't quite make it to the World's Strongest Man contest, decided to just do commercials for the rest of his life, and he'd be shouting at the screen, you need this game, it'll blow your mind. Pump it. And that's kind of what maybe another meta joke. I don't know.
I don't know either. They try to mix in little video game elements. There's little like 16-bit characters that show up occasionally. But honestly, I keep coming back to it. Really, like the narration thing, like every time they mentioned the package, the thing that he's supposed to be bringing, it goes to another random like cutscene where he's showing just like a picture of a fake box exploding. It's the package. It's like, what could it be? Could it be your mom's keys? Could it be a $10,000? I don't know. I don't have it. It's like, please stop. Yeah. The joke was mildly okay the first time, and it's getting worse.
Yeah, those effects, and also the game he was working on, Wrath of Todd, it reminded me a lot of, this is going to date myself, those old, I think it was Sega CD that had like the real actors.
Oh yeah, the live motion video yeah, on video motion. Games.
Yeah, videos. So that was humorous. I don't know if that was supposed to be funny. Is, you know, the jokes weren't funny. The things that weren't jokes were funny. So it's a little backwards.
It's really hard to tell where they're going with it throughout because of stuff like that. I mean, they try to put up the cards for each character, but then like he's getting information wrong. He's supposed to be kind of omnipotent about it, and then he's supposed to be seeing there's his semi friend Tony is the guy who sets him up. you know, you get that like immediately. So it's not really a spoiler, played by Bradley Gregg. But then he keeps showing up in other scenes in costumes where there's no real explanation for why he's in a disguise. And then our character is getting confused by him being in costume in his narration when he's not there. And there's no explanation that any point later in the movie he was told the scene happened to be confused about it.
No, and it's really jumbled. I almost kind of think maybe this is for the 8 to 13-year-old crowd, but the way the violence plays itself out, it shouldn't be, if that makes any sense.
It is actually relatively violent. As I said, some of the stunts aren't terrible. The gunplay, like when they're killing people, except for that one video game scene where he gets a gun and actually uses it, are actually relatively violent and gory. There's people getting their hands stabbed through with tons of blood and stuff like that. It's so imbalanced, though. You don't know where they're going. And you don't know if they know where they're going with the tone. And the intrigue isn't even there for the most part, because he's too omniscient or too omnipotent for the plot to have any real impact on it.
Yeah, there's no stakes because he's narrating the story that is already concluded, which he mentions at the beginning of the film. Like, here's what happened, you guys. So the stakes are immediately gone, which I thought was also confusing since the film opens up with him being killed, you know?
Right. And then there's other little things about even just the direction here. It's directed by Guillermo Ivan, who I believe has only other directed one other thing you'd know, which is Vantage Point, which was an okay 2008 movie. It has a pretty solid cast, if you don't know it, with Dennis Quaid, Matthew Fox, Forest Whitaker. I barely remember it coming out. It was like some assassination attempt on the president.
And a bunch of people saw it, and we got to experience their story. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And otherwise, he's worked a lot in cinema in Mexico, I believe, maybe in Spain, at least Spanish language film. But he does some weird choices past the ones we've already mentioned, like from the narration, he'll speak with that narration, you know, over voice or voiceover tone. And then he'll be like talking on the phone and you'll hear him like on the other side of a room talking on the phone, the same sound. So you don't know if he's narrating or on the phone or what's going on. Like, there's no audio leveling, there's just an even level. Then there's also a bunch of random cuts of our main character standing like on a green screen, clearly on a green screen, with like a background of a sunset behind him or like a rainforest, and he's talking to the screen, or at one point he's eating popcorn talking about how much he's excited for if he was watching this action scene where a bunch of guys that he actually is supposed to care about in this movie getting killed.
Yeah,
it's just like, what the hell? Who thought this was a solid plan to edit the movie this way? It just really feels like, I think I said to you over when I was watching it over Facebook Messenger, it kind of feels like a YouTube series where somebody got a mediocre budget to do a YouTube series. And like, and it reminds me of in college when you're writing scripts, like, you know, I was in film school and it's like, these aren't the scripts that everybody writes as their first script in college, saying, I'm going to write an action movie. It's going to be cool and badass. And it's going to be really deep and get meta about, you know, the movie and talk about video games, because everybody loves video games, and it's never going to hit any point on any of those that means anything.
Well, that's a sad college experience.
Well, in retrospect, you realize that in college, you think, oh, dude, it's so cool. You're writing this movie. I can't wait till we get to make it.
Oh, that is fun. I've never experienced that myself and never have been to a film school. Womp womp.
You might be lucky.
But I understand what you mean. You know, I come up with movie ideas all the time. And my sister, who's actually a writer, is like, yeah, that is a good idea. But that's all it is. You have like nothing other than the idea. And I've heard real authors from around the globe say the same thing, like, your idea doesn't matter. Oh my gosh, you have to actually write something. So it kind of seems like the idea here was video game designer lives out his action video game fantasy. But yeah, it kind of misses the mark big time on that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, as you said, you know, it's important to get out there and write it. Points to the screenwriter Gary Charles for writing it. Yeah. A guy who definitely has not anything else that he's done, I can't even say, is anywhere near as big as even Vanishing Point. But I just, I feel like this movie needed like a second pass from somebody who was not so close to it. I feel like, you know, as I said, Billy Baldwin's barely in this movie. Like, he gets one scene where I feel like the whole scene they pitched him on was where the narrator going, oh God, of course she's going to dump me for him. His eyes are so gorgeous and blue.
Yeah, I agree with that. And they are. You know, Billy Baldwin is the cutest Baldwin.
There is actually a Baldwin Brothers joke in this movie, if you didn't catch it.
I probably didn't.
I was like, is it a Baldwin Brothers joke? Is that clever? Because he's like, I swear somebody says, like, you know, you're the best of your brothers or something like that.
Okay.
And I was like, God, that's yeah. I mean, Michael Madsen is in this movie, but he barely interacts with the main character until the last scene.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of chewing scenery. Like it's his lunch pretty much.
Yeah. What do you think of the bizarre Street Fighter homage that just came out of nowhere and kind of a little clunky, I'm just going to say. What'd you think of that sequence?
Yeah, where the health bar doesn't move until like 30 seconds later after everything else.
Yeah.
And maybe, he's so concerned.
Yeah, Sega CD callback, maybe. I'm really bashing on the Sega CD. No,
I agree. It gets a lot of that. But yeah, he's like, I love how he's so concerned for the character. And literally in the next scene, he makes the stupidest move possible and gets shot in the face. And I'm like, you're supposed to be like a semi-intelligent character. What the hell is happening here?
Well, his role was to look mean, and he did a good job at that, actually. And like you said, you know, fight choreography, it's a real Everest to climb, especially in the lower budget films. So if you've seen Scott Pilgrim, though, it's just embarrassing to watch that Street Fighter sequence.
But, it really is. And honestly, the biggest thing about this movie is I feel like if it actually did go for the twist we were talking about earlier, it could have even been better because it really feels like they're pitching for it. I mean, Michael Madsen's character is named Hyde.
Yeah.
The homeless character is Drake Savage. There's a woman here named, you know, Miss Stark. There's a guy named Agent Block, Miss Riker. You know, his name's Matthew Booth. Like, these are all like video game characters or B-grade action movie characters. And in the end, it's just like, no, we're just gonna leave that hanging there. It's gonna be semi-realistic and, you know, really stupid happy ending thing.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I was kind of expecting. I will say, you know, as it sounds like I'm dumping all over this movie, I didn't find it like a chore to watch, and I actually did like the package itself. You know, like, what is it? Well, I don't know, I don't have it. But when we kind of get more into that, I thought, oh, that's kind of neat.
You know, and I didn't hate Michael Kingsbaker as the lead. I just feel like the narration was way too much, where it took you out of the scene way too often. The video game cut-ins just distracted too much from the movie. They tried to have their cake and eat it too with the video game references.
Yeah. Well, the narration, again, like, maybe it was supposed to be a joke about noir. Like, what would happen if noir was plucky and happy sounding? Maybe. And I'm really reaching to try to make sense of a lot of these decisions.
Yeah, but why don't you roll into your final thoughts here?
Oh, final thoughts. It's fine. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. And it was just very middling to me. I've seen far worse, even with video game adaptations. You know, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, still the champion of that spot for me as worst video game adaptation of all time. Not that this was adapted from a video game, but it kind of had that feel of, we know video games. And like most TV series and TV movie ideas, it doesn't seem like anyone involved did know video games. But since that's so common, I'm not going to knock it too bad for that. I say, for me, this is 4 out of 10 minutes on hold for CIA customer service.
God, that was pretty terrifying. It's not an abysmal movie, honestly. As you said, we've watched a lot worse. Just even for Screener Squad, a lot worse. But it generally, the characters were fine. The performances were fine. Just, it honestly feels like the script and the direction were where it really fell short, because nobody, you know, the guys who's supposed to bring everything together just said, no, we wrote all this stuff. We shot all this stuff. Let's actually put it in the movie. And you go, okay, cool, but where's the balance? Where's the tension? Where's the movement? Like, instead, you get a bunch of scenes that could have been good on their own, ruined by narration, some scenes that could have used some clarification, played up for jokes, and, you know, a lead character who suddenly becomes an action star, you know, and a tough guy when, you know, earlier in the movie, he's getting, you know, pushed around by his boss, and then, like, his supposed friend, you know, who's trying to help him pitch this video game, also pushing him around. It's like, you're supposed to be a genius programmer and an MIT guy, but you have no backbone and you have no use to your life, like, outside of just making this game, I guess. Yeah. Like, it, I don't know. It, I just, there's so much wrong with the script. It's really hard to recommend it. I give it 4.5 out of 10 pink roofed hotel rooms.
Yeah. But do you think it would have improved if it really pushed the envelope and had, like, the death noises for anybody who gets shot?
Oh, yeah, that would have been great. Or just, you know, a reference to GoldenEye where it goes slappers only would have been pretty good.
Yeah, he walks up to somebody. Whoopsh, ah, whoop,
whoop. Or at least one or two Wilhelm screams. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Ah! Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not a bad Wilhelm scream.
All right, so we end there because I got nothing else.